From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today On Deadline is taking a closer look at Senator J.D. Vance, the 39-year-old Ohio Republican, former Marine, New York Times bestselling author, and now the Republican vice presidential nominee. Last week, the GOP officially selected former President Donald Trump as their nominee for president. And he picked Vance as his running mate after months of speculation over who could be on that ticket with him. So, who is Vance? Well, he's relatively new to the political scene. He was first elected to the Senate in 2022. He got that seat with heavy support from Peter Thiel, the billionaire who backed Facebook and helped PayPal. Thiel gave the Protect Ohio Values Super PAC, created to support Vance's candidacy, $10 million. Before he was elected to Congress, Vance wrote a best-selling book titled Hillbilly Elegy. It's about his hardscrabble upbringing, which included living with a mother who struggled with drug addiction. That memoir was even adapted into a 2020 film directed by Ron Howard and starring Glenn Close. He also served in the Public Affairs Department of the Marines from 2003 to 2007. After he was discharged, he attended Ohio State University and then Yale Law School, where he graduated in 2013. He landed a job in venture capitalism after finishing law school, then spent 6 years at three different firms, bonded with Silicon Valley titan Thiel along the way, and the rest, as they say, is history. The ending, though, isn't written yet. KCBS political analyst Mark Sandalow joined his station to share more about J.D. Vance and why he's Trump's choice.
What do you think J.D. Vance offers that Mr. Trump was buying?
Eric, he's been, since joining the Senate just a year and a half ago, J.D. Vance has been, you know, Donald Trump's mini-me. He has been his biggest supporter. He fully supports Trump's lies about the 2020 outcome of the election. He says Donald Trump was cheated out of the victory. He said he would have done what Mike Pence didn't do if he had been vice president. He wouldn't have allowed the electoral votes to be counted on January 6th. He's been one of the leading voices, maybe the leading Republican voice against U.S. aid to Ukraine. He calls Trump the greatest president of his lifetime. All of this is a bit remarkable because he's a more complex figure than that. That's made him a favorite of MAGA supporters. But, you know, he's a former venture capitalist who actually made a fortune living in San Francisco working for Peter Thiel. He is a Yale Law School alumni. In the past, he's been fine with, you know, taxing the rich. In fact, years ago, not that many years ago, when Trump first ran, he called Trump noxious. He called him an idiot. He said that he was comparable to Hitler. He says he was wrong. He said things have changed since then. And what's interesting here is you could argue that this is Trump doubling down on the far right MAGA, you know, ideology. It's also possible, as you just heard, he wants to tone Trump his speech down on Thursday night. It's also possible that by picking somebody like J.D. Vance, who he knows is going to be out there, you know, talking MAGA 24 hours a day, it gives Trump an opportunity to sound more like a unifier from the center.
Interesting. You, when you called him a Trump mini-me, I was thinking, what is he, you know, you're not getting a bigger following from this, are you? I mean, your base is already there. So how will they use him in the campaign? Focused on the middle section of the country?
No, I mean, you are right about that, Margie, in that, you know, the other people who were talked about, whether it was, you know, Tim Scott, an African-American, or many of the women who were considered, or Marco Rubio, who was a, you know, Latino roots, would have expanded the tent. And this doesn't do this. But yeah, if you ever read the book that made J.D. Vance famous, Hillbilly Elegy, you know, he makes the case from rural America of why they don't like elites, why they think that, you know, on the East Coast and the West Coast, the, you know, whether it's Ivy League schools, which he attended, the elite media, the government folks are not relating to the everyday people. You know, he writes in that book about how his first time out to California, he was a 12-year-old, first time he ever got on an airplane, and he was actually going to visit an uncle in Napa. He actually went to San Francisco. His cousin, he said, took him to San Francisco to show him the Castro district so he could see that not all gay people were out to molest him. He actually embraced San Francisco and lived in the Mission District for a few years, just about, 10 years ago, and speaks fondly of the Bay Area. It's an interesting figure because this is when he was running for Senate in Ohio. The Democrats actually used his San Francisco pedigree against him. They called him a vulture capitalist, but he speaks to the down and out in rural Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Trump thinks that that can be very valuable.
You know what? I think that fascinates me and a lot of other people. How do you define elite if somebody who went to Yale Law School and married another Yale lawyer and was a venture capitalist doesn't consider himself to be elite?
Eric, the same way that somebody who inherited hundreds of millions of dollars from his real estate mogul father in New York and went on to become the host of the Celebrity Apprentice can pitch himself as a man, a person, somebody who speaks for the common man. Sometimes our characters don't match reality.
Besides his rural upbringing and alignment with Trump on major policies, Vance also offers something else to the former president that his other rumored VP choices didn't, and that's youth. After President Joe Biden dropped out of the race, Trump suddenly faces a much younger opponent in Kamala Harris, who many think is going to replace him as the Democratic candidate. So we should expect age to become a different kind of factor in the race for the presidency than it was before. Kamala Harris is around 20 years younger than Trump, and Vance is around 20 years younger than Harris. At just 39 years old, Vance, who would be 40 on Inauguration Day if the pair are elected, would be amongst the youngest ever in one of the nation's highest-ranking offices. He also has three young kids with his wife of 10 years, Usha Chilakuri Vance. If Trump wins the election, Vance would be tied with Richard Nixon, who is also 40, as the second youngest vice president ever elected. Are you wondering who else was in the 40 and under club? Well, we've got the list. The youngest ever VP was James Buchanan Vice President John C. Breckinridge. He was 36. To share more on the youth that Vance brings to the table and how it might help Trump, political analyst Blois Olson joined Odyssey.
What did you think of the selection of Senator J.D. Vance as a vice presidential candidate?
This is really another continuation of this blue-collar, working-class, underdog attempt of Republicans to get it. J.D. Vance grew up poor, attended Ivy League schools, been successful in business. He wrote a book, Hillbilly Effigy, that is a good read to understand the angst of rural, poor rural places. And, this has come up. I was speaking yesterday just as Vance got announced. And, this is an issue for industry. And by the way, it's an issue in politics, but it's also an issue in policy because in some ways, many Republicans are for more regulation of businesses or less subsidy of certain industries. And that is prevalent in, parts of Minnesota, like Northwestern Minnesota, where they're much more libertarian. Southwestern Minnesota, Republicans are much more libertarian when it comes to certain things, except for protecting workers, things like that. So I think J.D. Vance, the youth of J.D. Vance, also is a signal that Trump is trying to create a legacy for not just this next term, but potentially for decades to come.
But while Trump clearly likes Vance, do others in the Republican Party? At one point, the senator swore to never support his now boss, saying in 2016, "I am a never Trump guy." He also said that he never liked him. Vance even once posted on Twitter, now X, that he thought the former president was an idiot. That was in 2016, too. Another message that didn't really age well for Vance was one in which he called Trump America's Hitler. But now, obviously, his tune has changed. Vance is a, quote, strong supporter of Trump, and he's so ardent on that stance now that he said that he would have done what Trump called for Mike Pence to do on January 6, 2021. That is, he would have prevented the certification of votes for President Joe Biden as the rightful and democratically elected winner of the 2020 election. You may remember that Pence drew Trump's ire and was dropped off the ticket after refusing to do that. During the Capitol riot, MAGA supporters raged at him and even threatened to hang the vice president. In an interview this spring with George Stephanopoulos, Vance said that he would have accepted Trump's, quote, alternate slate of electors. That was in swing states where Trump had hand-picked backers who were ready to say their state had gone to Trump, even though the votes told a different story. Effectively, that would have overturned a Democratic election. Can Vance's current devotion to Trump win over Republicans who remember the things he used to say? Former Minnesota Republican Governor Tim Pawlenty joined Odyssey to share some more insight into this.
Vance was highly, highly critical of Donald Trump in 2015 and 16. But he's answered these questions before. He answered them again when Sean Hannity, to Hannity's credit, who's incredibly close to Donald Trump, asked Vance about it. And I know Democrats can run a lot of ads on it. It's going to come up. I personally think we're so far down the line that there are so many Republicans who put Donald Trump on full blast at some point, but now are supporting him or sympathetic to him. I don't think that part of Vance is really going to have any effect on this race. Do you?
I agree with that. And by the way, keep in mind, Donald Trump himself was a Democrat until shortly before 2016 and has been all over the map on a variety of things. So in the grand tradition of politics and politicians, J.D. Vance has been all over the map on a bunch of stuff. But if that were a disqualifying criteria from public office, you know, 3/4 of the people in office wouldn't be there.
Is it fair to say in reacting, I think we're in sync, that I would love to feel, and I'm not asking people to be less passionate in who they're in favor of or who they disagree with, but that we can just bring it down a little bit, that you're hopeful that's going to happen, but you're not optimistic it's going to last over a period of time.
Well, I think there's also hope in the notion that nothing stays the same. The pendulum swings slowly, but it does swing. And I think the country is in a moment, has been in a moment for a variety of reasons where this has been getting worse and worse. But nothing's inevitable. You know, it's within our power to change the trajectory of this discussion in terms of where it ends and its tone. And so I don't want to be cynical and pessimistic and just say, oh, we're screwed. You know, we can't. There's nothing we can do about it. I don't believe that. I think Americans, we're better than that. And I think if our leaders will give us some hope and some example, and the rest of us can be even a little better, we can improve this. So I want to be hopeful.
Vice President Kamala Harris, a former sex crimes prosecutor, has many supporters who are begging Trump to agree to debate her. A host from MSNBC even joked that it could be a pay-per-view event. It's not yet clear if Trump will debate whoever is at the top of the Democratic ticket going forward. But there is one thing for certain. Vance appears to be the attack dog that Trump wanted Pence to be. Kamala Harris said something to the effect that I have no loyalty to this country. Well, I don't know, Kamala. I did serve in the United States Marine Corps and built a business. What the hell have you done other than collect a check? That's what Vance said at his first rally with Trump in Michigan. Harris argued in a campaign video that the former president's pick for vice president will be loyal only to Trump, not to our country. One other thing is clear. With Kamala potentially becoming the Democratic Party's choice, and Vance already solidified as the vice presidential candidate on Trump's ticket, the next 4 months are going to be a wild political ride. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.